I am afraid that I have much news, and most of it is terrible.
Welcome to The Mind Killer, the rationalist brain on politics. As always, I'm Wesley Fenza.
I'm Inyash Brodsky.
And I'm David.
This is episode number 105. We're recording on March 25th, 2024. And we are going to start with some feedback from last episode.
Sure. This one comes from Steven.
Steven.
I've heard of that guy.
I never heard of no Steven.
He discovered black holes and said that there's a special radiation.
That Stephen Hawking is not your podcast partner, Stephen.
I don't know. I think he reincarnated into Stephen's body because, you know, that's how cool Stephen is.
He is pretty cool.
All right, what do you have to say? Also reincarnated backwards in time, apparently.
That's how it works.
If anyone could do it, he could.
Yeah. I mean, he invented time.
He's the master of time. He's like a time wizard.
The Time Lord is what they call them.
That's not what they call them.
Oh, well.
That's something completely different. That's completely unlike Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, Doctor Who has been cringe for like 10 years at this point.
Ever since I stopped doing the burlesque show.
Aww. Look, the only Doctor Who I know is the one with the crazy scarf from back in the 70s.
All right. Well, what did Stephen have to say?
Steven says that we all agreed that raising... Okay, this is, sorry, giving some background. When we were talking about the surge pricing...
I think it's fair to say that everyone who listens to this will have... Well, no, you know what? I was wrong. Please continue.
We literally just got a new subscriber about 20 minutes ago, so...
Okay, yeah. Like I said, I was wrong.
Okay, we were talking about the surge pricing that Wendy's is implementing, which is actually not surge pricing, it's discount pricing, and we all said that that's basically the exact same thing. Like, who are they even kidding? Steven says, you all agreed that raising prices in high-demand times was the same as lowering prices in low-demand times. The difference to me as a customer, though, is that I know that a particular burger will cost me a max of, say, $4.
All right, Steven, here's the deal with what Wendy's was up to. They were not actually doing the Uber model, where they just have a weird algorithm that raises the price. They just had the burger cost more at different times, but it was set in advance what the burger would cost.
What? That's bullshit.
It's an easy way to approximate demand if they have a lot of data nationwide.
Yeah, they're not going to like... You're always going to know the maximum price the burger
costs. I want my Wendy's stock ticker. I want to be able to arbitrage a Baconator.
That would be pretty awesome.
That is definitely what I'm naming this episode.
Arbitrage a Baconator.
Yes.
I think that's a very good...
It would have been a better name for last episode, but yeah, it is pretty good.
That is a really good point that Steven makes, though, that having a price ceiling that everybody knows is actually pretty darn important on the consumer end.
Yeah, and that was actually something I read about where companies that do this, that's generally what they do. They will, even if they do use like a weird algorithm to predict the price, they'll set a maximum price. They do this in supermarkets in some country. I heard like a Planet Money about it. But they will set a maximum price at the beginning of the day, and then throughout the day it might be less than that, but it'll never be more than that. Because people really hate paying more than they expected.
Yeah. Paying less than you expected, nice bonus.
Indeed.
Okay. All right. I've got to get with my friend who's a Wall Street veteran to figure out how I can profit from this knowledge.
Well, if you can buy a Baconator for $2 and sell it 2 hours later for 50 cents less than whatever Wendy's is selling it for, you could make a profit, but I don't know if you'd be able to sell it to
Wendy's. No, I couldn't. Baconator. I'd be out 50 cents.
Whatever.
He means after Wendy's raises their prices.
Yes. You need to buy low and sell high.
Yes, I meant during the low part. I thought that was obvious because I'm not retarded.
I mean, that's
are
obvious.
You under the impression that I'm? Oh, okay.
Now I know we had this discussion last episode.
All right, retards. Next piece of feedback.
This comes from Yusarian, a certified non-retard. He's talking about the TikTok thing that we covered last time, pointing out that we now are getting into an era where the computer can use human botnets to launch DDoS attacks against other humans, in reference to everybody spamming the hell out of Congress, which is pretty cool.
That is not what a DDoS attack is.
I'm, metaphorically, if we're Spinozaing.
It's a metaphorical DDoS attack on human, yeah. on metaphorical humans, you know, Congress. Yes.
I would never go so far as to say that a congressperson is a literal human.
Yes.
So, yeah. I'm also...
Simulacra all the way down.
I also don't like this because, like, this wasn't an autonomous thing by the TikTok app.
Yeah,
it was
true.
Just, you know, some guy at TikTok.
It was
executing a line of code that they wrote to send this message to everyone.
Well, you think that's the case, but maybe it was the TikTok algorithm secretly controlling them.
Granted, I do not, in fact, know whether the TikTok algorithm has agency.
I would love if the Skynet of the future was named ByteDance.
That would be great.
It is a pretty great name.
It would force us all to dance until we die, like the fairies of ancient lore.
It's a great name for a killer robot.
Where by ancient lore, you mean the Dresden Files?
The Dresden Files got it from actual ancient lore.
Oh, okay. Neat. Yeah.
All right. We got a follow-up to one of our stories. So, guys, remember Fonny Willis, who was the prosecutor who slept with the other prosecutor, and Trump tried to get her tossed off the case?
I wish I didn't, but alas, yes.
She didn't get tossed off, but her boyfriend did.
Aww.
The judge was like, this is all probably fine, but it looks bad, so one of you gotta go. And it was definitely him, because Fonny Willis was not leaving this case unless they handcuff her and lead her away.
Well, that is unfortunate, but...
Yeah, the judge threw tons politics. Of shade in the opinion, though. He's like, yeah, this was a pretty dumb thing to do. And he used the phrase, odor of mendacity. which, yeah, I thought was great. Because I was like, yeah, that is a good way to describe what's going on here. You guys are full of shit. Next time I call someone full of shit, I'm going to say there's an odor of mendacity.
Excellent. Maybe that should be the podcast title.
Oh, my God. It's true. We got two titles. It's too good.
And we're not even into the new stuff.
Right? Speaking of not new stuff, Iniash, give us a follow-up.
Follow-up. When I said, I believe it was last episode, that people should just identify as whatever they need to help out their employer so that they can actually get stuff done.
Yeah. Check that diversity box.
Yeah. Google needed someone to check a diversity box, so they hired a black, deaf female worker. They were like,
oh, man, that's so diverse.
It's so diverse. But they didn't actually have anything for her to do.
What are you talking about? She's a spokesperson, obviously.
They put her on reviewing YouTube videos, and it didn't give her the proper support she needed to do that as someone who's deaf. And, you know, it was just a dead-end shitty career for her because they weren't hiring her to do work. They were hiring her for the quota. And eventually she got pissed off.
You can't say quota.
Oh, the for the Q word. Eventually she got really tired of that bullshit, and now she's suing Google for discrimination. So good job, Google. You should have hired my brother. He doesn't hear half the shit that I say.
That's a terrible deaf joke.
But go to hell.
Hey, look, I don't object to jokes at the expense of the disabled. Just come on, make it clever.
No, that was a joke at the expense of my brother, damn it.
I mean, I don't hear half the shit you say, but that's because it's retarded.
Right. That's the curse of the Brodskis. Everyone around us is deaf.
What is... Is David okay?
I think yes, I may have I'm killed fine. David.
So what are the damages here? Like, what's she suing for?
I don't know.
You're like, you paid me money?
Oh, well, she did not get promoted as quickly as her fellow coworkers.
Oh, okay, so she was passed up for promotions.
Because
they're like, you can't actually do this job? Or like, we're not going to enable you to do this job. We just want you to sit there and be our diversity poster girl.
Yeah,
basically that's, that. Yeah, that sounds like something you can sue about.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Well, I hope she wins. All right,
we'll see.
Next follow-up.
Israel, this is a little bit late that we're reporting this, but Israel plans to have a 1-kilometer-wide buffer zone around the entirety of Gaza. That's about 0.6 miles. They are at least planning to. I'm not sure if they've started bulldozing anything in that area.
Oh, they've
started.
That's okay. How they know they're doing it, because they didn't announce this plan. They just started bulldozing shit.
Oh, shit.
And then people are like, you seem to be bulldozing a lot around the border. And they're like, it's a temporary buffer zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Just temporary. Just, don't worry about it.
It's only there for as long as those people want to kill us.
God. So for the next 10,000 years, it'll be there.
Yeah. It's kind of like the one we got between North and South Korea. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's necessary because when there's people that want to kill you, you want to be able to see them coming and stop them from coming. But yeah. It kind of sucks a little bit.
Yeah, the wall didn't really do the trick there. The last time.
No, 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 no.
Take note, Donald. Walls aren't that great. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. Just a quick follow-up.
The other thing that's going on in Israel, that's really going on in America, which is why we're reporting it, because, you know, who cares about not America?
Yeah.
Is that Chuck Schumer, the Senate majority leader, called for elections in Israel. Which is notable because this is like the first time a high-ranking Democrat has really said anything negative about what Israel's been doing. And it is Chuck Schumer is also Jewish and the highest-ranking member of the Democratic Party in the Senate. He's like, you know, a big deal guy. And Biden basically came out and was like, yeah, what he said.
Okay.
And people are all pissed off because he's basically telling Israel to hold elections. Which kind of weird for a different government to do.
Yeah.
It was not like all the people calling for a ceasefire. He's like, hey guys, you should hold an election and get rid of Netanyahu because he is a real obstacle to peace here. Which he's not wrong. I would love to see Netanyahu gone.
I've heard only bad things about him.
He's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to happen. So a normal term for a governing majority in Israel is 4 years, and that's not up till 2026. Now, most of the time, they don't make it that long because a majority of the parliament or the president can call for a new election, and that's normally how it happens. But Netanyahu's not going to do that, and he's got enough allies in the parliament that they're not going to do that. And his whole thing is to like extend, keep the war going, so he can tell everyone, like, no, we can't have an election now, we're at war.
Mm.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Well, they're going to have one in 2026, regardless of whether there's a war or not, right?
Well, yeah, that's quite a long time from now.
I mean, it's not that long. 2022 was just recently. Away from now as 2022 was.
Yes, that's 2 years ago, Aniash. That was a long time.
No, that was not a long time. 2 years is shockingly short.
As a father of a 4-year-old, I can agree.
I don't know. The last 2 years have felt like several million to me, so.
Well, that's because you got a brand new job.
That's because you've been on this podcast.
Ooh.
All right, Eniash. Last follow-up.
This is a happy news follow-up.
Hey!
It was sometime last year, maybe even the year before that, where we reported in the happy news about CAR T cell therapy for a brain cancer called glioblastoma.
Ah, yes. I remember you trying to say glioblastoma and fucking it up.
Thank you for helping me out. It is they are in human tests now, and they are going extremely well in clinical trials. Some patients show dramatic decline in tumor size in just a few days. So fuck yeah for continuing to kill cancer.
All right. Death to cancer. It's a good kind of death.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that takes us to new news. Yeah, and we're going to start with... Sorry, did you have something to say?
Well, there's also death to insects. That's also the good kind of death.
Oh, yeah, man. Gene drive those fucking mosquitoes.
That's right.
The only good bug is a dead bug.
I want to do like end every show with Gene drive the mosquitoes, like Carthage, Delenda S style.
I mean, it's your podcast. You can.
Completely here for it.
All right. I might start doing that. All right. Nice. New news. And we're going to start with Trump news. Yay. All right. So Trump is somehow, this story is crazy. So Truth Social is his stupid social media site that doesn't make any money and like loses tens of millions of dollars every year. And somehow he is selling this for like $3 billion.
Selling it? Yeah. Or going public?
So it's going public, but it's doing it through a SPAC. Do you know what a SPAC is?
No.
David, can you explain what a SPAC is?
No.
Okay. I forget what it's a special purpose acquisition corporation, I think is what it stands for. And what it does is, so when you want to take a company public, you have to like do all this shit. So the SEC doesn't, you know, sue you and give you a bunch of fines and everything. So there's lots of compliance stuff you need to do. So to get around that, what they do is they form these SPACs, which is just a corporation that has a bunch of money. They put money into the corporation, and then they take that corporation public. And then that corporation buys your company. And then your company is public without going through the SEC process.
And the SEC has not shut this loophole down
yet? The SEC has not shut this loophole down.
Sounds like a very blatant, obvious loophole that you could easily shut down.
It is. And yet, here we are. This is – SPACs were huge, like, I think, like, 2 years ago is when I started hearing about them. But, yeah, so that's what they did. So there's this SPAC, and it's just a big pile of money that is publicly traded, and its purpose, it was formed to buy Truth Social. And it's got, like, a valuation of $5 billion because crazy Trump people keep pumping up the stock price.
Huh.
Yeah, there's no chance of Truth Social making money. It is, like, it doesn't make money. It's terrible. It's not worth anything. And it's just Trump people doing this. And Trump owns 60% of the shares of this. Ooh. And it was just this past week, the merger got approved by the shareholders. So all the people that, like, hold those shares that are somehow worth $5 billion, they approved the merger, so it's happening.
This is interesting.
So yeah. What I'm hearing is you, the listener, need to support us on Patreon so that I have money that I can use to short this company.
Absolutely. Now, here's the fun part. Trump is not allowed to sell or borrow against his shares for 6 months.
Oh, do you think you can keep it pumped up that high for 6 months?
That's the question. Can he keep the stock price pumped up for 6 months? And that's going to take him, like, to next September. So that's 2 months before the election. So probably.
Ah.
I feel like that's going to be, like, you know, maximum Trump fervor.
This is an odd situation.
Right? Feels but like then, the way to... as soon as he's allowed to sell, I mean, he's going to dump those shares. So really, you want to short sell it in 6 months.
You don't want to dump the shares all at once because then if he owns 60% of them, like, the price will tank before he can sell them all.
Yeah, but it's going to tank anyway. I mean, my guess is he just gets out as quick as he can.
This is good. Do you guys know what the stock ticker for this shell company is going to be after they finish buying Truth Social?
It is DJT.
It is.
What's DJ? Oh, Donald J. Trump. Okay.
Yep.
So, it sort of feels like buying stock directly in a person.
It kind of is.
Yes, that's what it is.
Can we sell stock in us?
I mean,
probably.
We can try.
We can incorporate the mind killer.
Yeah, we need a bigger following.
I don't want to do that. 15,909 is what the stock is at right now.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's down $100 today, if you can believe it.
I mean, I don't even know what to believe anymore.
Nobody does.
This is going to be such an interesting time in history books.
Yeah. So that's fun. All right. Next Trump news is Trump is getting special treatment from the appellate court again because if he whines enough, they just let him do what he wants. So you remember Trump had like a $450 million judgment against him?
No. Why?
Because he was lying about his property values.
Oh, I do remember that one.
And doing fraud and getting loans because of it. And they were like, you have to disgorge all that money.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So normally when you appeal a decision like that and you want the judgment to be stayed, you have to put up a bond for the entire amount. Because they're like, well, if you lose, we don't want you to just file an appeal to avoid paying, right? Okay. Or to be able to sell off assets. So by the time it gets decided, you're like, oh, well, I'm poor now.
Mm.
So normally you have to put up the whole thing. Trump went to the appellate court and started crying that he was too poor to pay to get a $450 million bond. And that, oh my God, he'd have to sell a building or two if he needed to put this up. And they were like, all right, we'll take $175, which they definitely would not have done for just anyone else. It's such bullshit.
How the fuck is the Biden campaign not making absolute hay with this in attack ads?
I mean, like,
Trump's entire appeal is that he's super rich.
No, his entire appeal is that he's sticking it to the man.
I did see, oh man, something was trending on Twitter. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was like, Don Corleone.
Awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, his thing is that, like, the libs hate him, and that's why the people who support him love him.
But also, look, they haven't started the attack ads yet. The election's not for 8 months. You'll start getting the attack ads, like, right around the time Trump starts dumping that stock.
Do you not think that this is a thing any really wealthy businessman could get away with, though? Because it feels like the sort of bullshit that they generally always pull.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I just know, like, if I owed, you know, $45,000... And oh, I yeah, wanted to appeal it, and I told them I only had $17,500. They'd tell me to get lost.
Right, yeah. They'd be like, you can sell your house. We don't care about you.
Yeah. All right. Last Trump news is that Trump went out and told everyone if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath. And he was, this was in the context of talking about the auto industry. And now everyone's going nuts because the one side is like, oh, Trump threatened a civil war if he loses. And the other side is like, oh, my God, he was just saying that, like, the U.S. auto industry is going to be in trouble. Calm down, everybody. I don't know what side I'm on because they're both lying. So here's the I'm just going to read the actual quote. And you got to picture this in Trump voice because I can't do it. It's impossible.
I got this.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. And you're not going to be able to sell those cars if I get elected. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That's the least of it. But they're
See, it's impossible.
But they're not going to sell those cars.
Yeah, so, like, obviously he's saying it's going to be a bloodbath for the auto industry, but then he's like, oh, and, you know, but for the whole country. That's the least of it. So I'm like, I read that, I'm like, all right. It sounds like he's saying, what I think he's just saying is, like, the whole country's going to go to shit if he doesn't get elected, which is, he says that all the time. Mm-hmm. But he used the word bloodbath, so now everyone's freaking out about it. So I don't know. If you heard, so I wasn't really going to cover this, but, like, I know it's out there. So have you heard anything about Trump threatening a bloodbath? Like, it's really not that big a deal. What is a big deal is that he wants to put 100% tariff on foreign cars. What the fuck is that?
That's insane.
100% tariff. He wants every, like, Honda and Mitsubishi and Volkswagen and BMW to cost twice as much.
It's not like cars don't cost enough right now.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how everyone's yelling about the bloodbath and not the 100% tariff on cars. Like, do you know how many people drive foreign cars? It's like everybody.
Yeah. Can he do that unilaterally?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't know, actually. He might be able to. I feel like tariffs might be one of those things that, like, there's some law on the books somewhere that's like, oh, yeah, the president can set tariffs.
Yeah, like in 1986, Congress was like, we don't want to fuck with that anymore. President can do whatever when it comes to cars.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the president can do anything, because at some point Congress was like, we don't care. Let's make the president deal with it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, but that's gonna be a whole thing.
He's not actually gonna do it. He's gonna put 100% tariff the same way he made a wall, you know, across the border.
He's gonna yell about border. It.
Yeah.
He might do some kind of tariff though. And
oh yeah, he's definitely gonna do tariffs.
Yeah.
Like that. That was probably the single thing he did the most of consequence during Trump 1. So
yeah. And David, you're an economist, right? Tariffs, great, right? Everyone loves tariffs. They're great for our country. All right, good.
They are a perfect economic policy with absolutely... okay, I couldn't even finish that joke without throwing up in my mouth a little. No, tariffs are bad.
Yeah, so that's what I
even heard. When other countries have tariffs, an economist, I can't remember which one, analogized it to throwing rocks in your harbors because other countries are throwing rocks in their harbors.
Hmm. Well, you know, we can't let them get away with it.
If right. Every country threw rocks into their harbors, would you throw rock in your harbor too? I mean, maybe.
You know I would. All right. Speaking of car regulations, Eniash.
Yeah.
What's new with cars?
Well, we always know that things are better when the government gets involved in the economy. The EPA has new fleet standards, which are going to drastically tighten up how much emissions are allowed out. This is an interesting phrasing, that are allowed out of the tailpipes of cars is what it generally says. They can't necessarily regulate individual cars, at least not without a law being passed, but they have fleet standards where they say that of all the cars you sell in a year, you can only have this many emissions out of all of them. So a car manufacturer can decide to make a lot of small electric vehicles and also like a handful of really large gas guzzling vehicles.
One big SUV.
Yes, an SUV the size of Tacoma. As long as the emissions for all the cars that they make net out to a certain level, they have set this level at a point where they are estimating that at least 50% of new vehicles sold would have to be electric in 2032.
This is some bullshit.
Now, David, it's industrial policy, not central planning. Totally different.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Yeah, but this probably, they're not going to get away with this.
You don't think?
They no.
already passed the new standard.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court's going to toss it out. They already tried this with power plants. You remember this?
Nope.
This was, I think we covered this on our All Supreme Court episode. They tried to, they tried to pass this was the EPA again, tried to pass regulations that basically mandated that it was the same deal. It was like, oh, well, you can only have this many emissions. And the only way to comply with that would be to just switch over to wind and solar. And the Supreme Court was like, no, they invoked the major questions doctrine. And they were like, your enabling legislation doesn't actually allow you to set this kind of policy. You can regulate emissions at the margins, but you can't like mandate a wholesale change in an industry. And this sounds like exactly what they're doing again, but for cars instead of power plants.
It does. I think it would be good if that did get tossed out, because as far as I can tell, the only way to get a car manufacturer to sell at least 50% of EVs would be if they jacked up the price to gas on gas cars so much that people were forced to buy the EVs instead. It's not like they can really lower the price of the EVs by much. They're already not making that much money.
Need to calm down with this.
Yeah, but the price of foreign cars is going to double soon.
Right.
They've got some wiggle room to jack up that price and still sell them.
Mm-hmm. But they really need to settle down with this. Electric car sales are doing really well. They don't need this. This kind of strong arming. People like electric cars. All we need is more electric car infrastructure, and that's all people are going to want to buy. People only like gas cars because there's gas stations everywhere.
Yeah, I've heard that the electric car selling has been leveling off recently.
It has
but
not.
No,
it's been the rate of acceleration has lowered, but it's still accelerating.
Oh, okay. Well, I was lied to with statistics.
Yes. Electric vehicles are doing very well.
Got to keep an eye on how many levels of differentiation you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, electric vehicles are doing very well. They really don't need help. But like they're better cars. Mm-hmm. There's so many fewer moving parts. They need so much less maintenance. And electricity mm-hmm. is way cheaper than gas. So like people will buy the cars as soon as it's convenient to do so. So let's just make it convenient. Stop trying to strong arm people into buying electric cars and strong arm the companies into everyone using Tesla's charging standard.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. Get rid of this non-Tesla charging bullshit that doesn't work.
Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
I just don't get the people who cheered this on. And do they just not think through like how a car manufacturer would get to selling 50% of their cars as electric vehicles? Like they can't force people to buy them.
No, they didn't.
The only lever they have is to raise the price on the gas ones.
Well, I don't know if they raise the price on the gas ones. It might just be they just make fewer gas ones.
Which would raise the price on the gas ones.
Well, yeah. In the market. Yes. We'll see. I mean, look, I don't think I need to tell you that in an industry as top heavy as the auto industry, that sometimes, you know, the market price isn't what the cars are sold for.
Mm. Well, fair enough. All right.
All right. Next story. Speaking of shit Congress did, they passed a budget bill. I'm not an actual budget. You know, one of those continuing resolutions that funds the government for a few months.
Jesus. Now,
is this news? Because they do this every few months.
Well, yeah. But then,
and we report on it every few months. Well, it's our duty as journalists.
Maybe we should stop.
Well, no, but the last time they did it, the speaker got kicked out.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was actually two times ago.
Okay, see, that one was worth talking about.
Yeah, last time they were like, all right, Mike Johnson, we don't like this, but, you know, we'll give you a pass on this one. This time, there has now been a motion filed to vacate his leadership.
Ah.
So we may have another fun few weeks or months with no Speaker of the House.
So are we just going to go through a speaker every year now? Every time we have to kick the budget down the line?
I feel like this one might be bullshit because Marjorie Taylor Greene filed the motion and she made some comment about how it's more of a warning than a pink slip, which I don't know what that means, but it sounds like, you know, she's what did I say I was going to say instead of full of shit?
An aroma of mendacity.
Yeah, an aroma of mendacity around.
Or no, an odor.
An odor of mendacity around that statement. So yeah, it sounds like she's just like play acting as she does often.
If a motion gets filed, couldn't that actually get voted on though?
I don't know. I think she can withdraw it if it's her motion.
That would be the stupidest thing in the world.
Well, Congress is back in 2 weeks, so we'll see what happens.
And also, we are talking about stuff Congress is doing, so let's not rule out the stupidest thing in the world.
It's all stupid. All right, speaking of stupid things that governments did, Inyaj, what's going on in Minneapolis?
The Minneapolis legislators decided that they wanted to force Lyft and Uber to pay more to pay the drivers more.
Who could argue with that?
Well, I mean, I don't know, people who want to get places with
all right, those people.
Yeah.
Or people who want to work at Lyft and Uber and are happy with their current level of pay and don't want to be unemployed.
There's a lot of people like that.
Whoa, unemployed? What are you talking about?
Well, when you force a company to pay a lot more, they hire a lot fewer people.
No, I never heard that.
As a matter of fact, by mandating that they would have to get drivers up to the equivalent of $15.17 an hour, Uber and Lyft said that this would probably double their operating expenses, double the cost of a ride, and would make operations unsustainable in Minneapolis. So they have announced that they will be pulling out on May 1st, unless, I guess, the legislature pulls this back by then, but that seems unlikely. They overrode the governor's veto or the mayor's veto. Whoever it was that tried to veto it, they overrode that. So if they pull out, there's going to be approximately 10,000 drivers in Minneapolis that are going to have to find work that is actually worth, you know, something, because the legislature thinks that their current labor is not worth shit. And the people who have been relying on Uber and Lyft to get around places are going to have to start paying a lot more for taxis. So I guess they will not be able to get around as easy.
They should do the TikTok thing.
The TikTok thing backfired. They passed that TikTok bill quickly after that happened.
I mean, yes, but that's because it was full of disinformation.
So they should spread disinformation.
No, just like how one of these drivers who's going to be unemployed in May, sit them in front of a camera, have them cry a little, and then force prospective riders to watch that video and then call their, I'm guessing, city legislator before they can have a ride.
That would be amazing. If you open up the Uber app in Minnesota, it's like, call your legislature.
I think it would work best if the driver they get is like a 12-year-old girl and just crying, because everybody wants to help support the 12-year-old girls.
I don't know if everyone wants to support 12-year-old Lyft drivers.
Yeah, that does sound somewhat alarming.
I would. I saw Indiana Jones. He just put strap blocks to the bottom of their feet.
All right. Next story. I almost put this in happy news, but I didn't, just because I feel like there's some downside to this that I'm not seeing. But it sounds great to me. So the National Association of Realtors, which is like the realtor group, like every realtor is a member of it. They even trademarked the name realtor. So this is like everybody. They had a settlement from a class action lawsuit that's basically going to end the 6% commission system for selling real estate, which is kind of huge because that has been the industry standard for decades.
Yeah.
Like, you can't buy a house without paying 3% to the seller's agent and 3% to the buyer's agent. And that's just how it is. And if you don't like it, you can go try to sell your house by yourself.
I think that made a lot more sense when houses cost like $80,000.
Yeah, probably. So what the actual deal says is that you can't offer, if you're selling the house and you're the seller's agent, you can't put in the listing what the commission is to the buyer's agent. And it's widely expected that this will lead to just nobody paying commissions to buyer's agents.
Hmm. So there will just not be buyer's agents anymore?
No, there'll be buyer's agents, but they'll be paid directly by the buyer.
Oh, okay.
The buyer, you'll negotiate with the buyer what your commission will be.
Gotcha.
And probably be less than 3%.
I'm assuming sellers also will now be directly negotiating for what their commission percent will be?
They always did. So I don't know if the sellers' commissions are going to change. And I don't quite understand what all the mechanisms here are. But one of the things that this is supposed to do is allow competition from people who aren't part of this association.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something in the settlement or something about not being able to list the sellers' commission that is going to cause that to happen. I don't know, but all the experts say, yeah, 6% commission system is over.
Well, in general, I am in favor of anything that breaks guilds. So
yeah, it sounds pretty great to me.
Yeah.
As long as they don't do lawyers next.
Oh, God. Don't even say that. I don't even think that. Fuck, that'd be literally unthinkable.
How dare you put that thought in people's heads?
Yeah, Wes, feel free to cut that out.
All right, I definitely will. All right, if listeners, if any of you know like what the dark side of this is, let me know. I haven't seen anything.
One person speculate.
What's that?
Well, rich people with big expensive houses will obviously pay much less commission because it's so expensive. Even, you know, a 0.5% commission is going to get you a lot of money. But then poor people with crappier houses are going to have a hard time finding any real estate agent and might have to pay even more than what the 3% was in the past. That seems unlikely, but I don't know.
Eniash, you want to know a secret? Yeah.
I would like to know a secret.
Poor people were already paying lower commissions. Or rich people,
really?
I mean.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because they have the bargaining power. Because they can say, yeah, I have a $6 million house. I'm not giving you a 3% commission. And the agent will say, all right, how about, 2%? Right, which is still going to be a shitload of money on an expensive house.
Yeah,
they were already doing that.
Ah, all right. Well, that's the best I heard.
Yeah, all right. Eniash, tell us about Mifepristone.
Mifepristone is the mail-in abortion drug that you can get. Technically not mail-in. You need some sort of prescription, but, you know, it's one of those things where this prescription is very easy to get. You pay someone $20 and you get it. It has been the go-to for the backstop birth control, the
Plan B.
You know what? It's not Plan B. It's like it is the abortion pill that everybody has been using.
Right.
And we have said a number of times, if you live in a state that that has outlawed the abortion, it's actually pretty darn easy. I know it does take some agency, but you can often get mifepristone mailed to you, and you should take those. You should take advantage of that if you can. Well, the Supreme Court is set to rule on the abortion drug mifepristone this summer and could make it extremely hard to get if they rule that it should be very hard to get. So just as a PSA, mifepristone is shelf stable for 5 years and it is not yet being cracked down on. So maybe get some possibly if you're one of those people that could get pregnant.
Is this that bullshit where they're like, it never should have been approved by the FDA?
I didn't look into the details.
I think we did cover this previously, though.
We did. And it is the biggest bullshit suit in the world. They're like, 23 years ago when it was approved, that was wrong and bad. And it shouldn't have been approved. And some asshole judge was like, I'm gonna submit an injunction. And then the appeals court was like, well, we'll modify it a little bit, but sure. And now the Supreme Court's going to look at it. So hopefully they do the same thing and are like, no, you can't challenge a FDA approval that's over 20 years old. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
But just in case not, maybe get some? I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely think about it.
Yeah.
All right, David, terrorists.
Yes. Terrorists attacked a concert hall. Good Lord, it must have been late when I wrote this.
In Russia, a Russian yes. concert hall.
Yes. My notes in the outline are a complete hash, and in unrelated news, terrorists attacked a concert hall in Russia with automatic AKs, possibly a flamethrower, possibly explosives. Al-Amaq, an ISIS-affiliated group, has claimed credit for the attack, and I apparently also forgot to look up the final tally of how many people died. But last I heard, there were 200 people locked in the basement and the building was on fire. So
well, I recently saw it was at least 136 casualties.
Good Lord.
Well, hopefully yeah. this finally convinces the right wing that we need to pass that assault weapons ban.
Yeah, when you say automatic AKs, aren't all AKs automatic?
The one I have within arm's reach right now isn't. I wish it was.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's really yeah, terrible.
That sucks.
Well, then why did I hear that it was Ukraine?
Yeah, so Russia says.
And, have they actually you know, really been trying to
yes,
trying to do that?
Yes,
yeah,
they
they've
have.
Been trying to make it a thing.
Jesus.
They've definitely been like, this was Ukraine. I knew it.
Yeah. The guys who rolled up in a completely sterilized white van forgot to remove the Ukrainian license plate. And they were driving for the Ukrainian border. Ugh.
Are they still claiming this?
Yes.
I don't know what the latest claim to come out of them, like when it was from, but they were as of like yesterday.
Yeah, I heard as of this morning they were claiming that.
Wow. Okay. Because I don't think anybody
stop.
Is buying it.
Does Putin seem like the kind of guy who's going to be like, ah, you got me. It was Islamic terrorists.
Probably not.
Yes. Doubtful.
Wasn't there, remember when Tenet came out, the Nolan movie, and they had a Russian opera under siege, which was based on a thing that actually happened like 15 years ago, and they used like knockout gas to try to...
Oh yes, they used quote unquote knockout gas.
Yeah, and ended up killing like 100 people in the opera.
I saw Tenet. I don't think I could tell you one thing that happened.
I didn't see Tenet, but I am familiar with this incident.
Was that also an Islamic group? And why do they keep going after like concert halls and operas in Russia?
I think that was domestic terrorists, but I'm not sure. Mm. If you want, I can call who I'm sure has an encyclopedic knowledge of the event in question.
It's fine. Eniarch, what you need to understand is Russian opera is just
also
really bad.
Wes, I need you to bleep out his name in both those places.
Well, stop saying it.
Sorry.
What I need to understand about Russian opera is what?
It's very bad. You would attack it too if you heard it.
If I was in the audience, I'd be like, oh, thank God, someone's coming to put me out of my misery. I pray for this day.
Yeah, everyone just brings their AKs. And it's like, well, you know, if it's not good enough, they just start shooting.
Okay. Well... it sounds like a good motivation to get better at your opera, but I guess not.
Guess not. Speaking of people who aren't getting better, Putin also won the election,
yeah,
shockingly.
With a completely unsuspicious 88.48% of the vote.
Yeah, so popular.
Yeah.
Them Russians, they love that Putin.
Yeah.
They're all like, Putin, Putin, Putin. That's who we like.
I don't think you actually interviewed any Russians for that.
No,
quote,
I called like five of them, and every one of them said that.
Those exact words.
Putin, Putin, Putin.
Yep.
It's like they're getting talking points or something.
Yeah.
There weren't guns to their heads. What are you talking about? Stop suggesting fake conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Stop doing the misinformation.
Yeah, that's kind of our brand.
All right. Well, speaking of fake bullshit, let's talk about Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, in 2018, signed a 5-year contract with Tesla. It had 12 performance goals in it, and for each one that he met, he'd have the option to buy Tesla stock at the end of that contract 5 years later, which was roughly 25 million shares for each met goal, and his option price was $23.34 per stock. At the beginning of 2018, when he signed this deal, the stock was at $21, so a couple dollars more than what it was trading for. He met every single one of those performance goals. I think there's one that is like not necessarily settled yet, but they say it looks absolutely like it's going to be met. It's on track to be met. And he did such a good job that the Tesla stock is now, it was now in 2023, I guess this is a couple months back, $191.
Ooh, that's way more.
Huge increase in the stock. So he has the option to buy a buttload of Tesla stock for $23 each. Except not, actually. Because a judge ruled that this case was taken up by some whiny bitch somewhere. and a judge
whiny
ruled,
bitch versus Musk is actually the name of the case.
Judge ruled in favor of whiny bitch, said that this is just too much profit. And also, Musk would have done this work anyway, so why do we even need to pay him? And also, the board was too close to Musk, so the contract was a collaborative process rather than a true negotiation, which actually that one might be, you know, somewhat legit. And also, that the stockholders don't know what's good for them when they voted to approve this. So, yeah.
This is some bullshit.
Yes, this is total bullshit. He signed a contract. He did such an amazing job that he ended up getting far more than anybody thought that he would because he did such a good job. If he did a shit job and the stock only went up like $2, $3, nobody would be complaining. Anyways, they're just like, no, you can't have that much money. That's too much money. And now his compensation for his work during those 5 years kind of up in the air. No one quite knows exactly what's going to happen or who's going to negotiate on Tesla's behalf for work that's already been done. I don't know. I think what they should do is just force bump Tesla stock back down to $21 and see if anybody complains about that.
All right. Ine Yash.
Yeah.
I know that's how the economy works. You can just see what the stock is going to be, right?
Elon deciding to pull all of his companies out of Delaware was the right move.
Yup.
I am mad about this.
All right. I don't know if this is bullshit.
Okay.
Because you were all pissed off about this on the Discord server. So I looked up this opinion.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what it says is that what Elon did was he put a bunch of his cronies on the board. He was all buddy-buddy with them. And they just gave him a sweetheart deal that wasn't in the that was not in the best interest of the company. And then they failed to disclose this relationship to the stockholders. So when they approved the compensation package, you know, they were trusting these board members and thought they could trust them. And really, they were just like Musk's handpicked buddies who rubber stamped the contract he wanted.
Yeah, that's why I said that middle part sounds like maybe it wasn't bullshit so much. But like the stockholders were advised by two different companies, advisory companies of some kind, not to approve this deal. And they did anyway. So they probably figured
really?
Yeah. So they probably figured that Musk could do a lot of good things for the company, and they were right. Like, are you going to argue with the fucking results here?
Yeah, they're pretty good results.
Yeah. Like, maybe we could stand to have more buddy-buddy boards like this if they always resulted in companies doing extremely well.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I just don't know. Like, I don't know, and I don't know if this is, like, a normal way that CEOs are compensated or
they often are with stock options.
I know they are with stock options, but like this amount of stock options or I don't know. I just don't know.
I mean this might be a failure of Inyash's outline writing, but it seems to me like the reason this is such a good deal is because Tesla's stock price 10x'd over the last 5 years.
Yes, that is right. Yeah.
Okay. So that seems like the kind of thing that capitalism should reward.
Not in late stage capitalism.
You're right. Always forget about that part.
Everyone agrees that he should be rewarded. The question is, should he be rewarded with like billions of dollars? And was this like a lack of fiduciary duty by the board?
Counterpoint: 10x stock price over 5 years.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean,
so yeah, it's probably
that like probably billions of dollars is a bit of a short sell if this is the sort of performance he can reliably produce in his companies. Like, I'd pay billions of dollars for that if I had billions of dollars.
Yeah, right. I'd pay $5 billion for $20 billion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The argument seems to be that like 25 million shares for each Met goal was a lot and he would have done it for less, so they should have negotiated for less, but then maybe he wouldn't have done it. It's just so hard to say in retrospect, you know? I guess the judge has decided that that it was too much, so
yeah, he gets to make the call. The question is, like, is it... I mean, do you think it's legitimate for a judge to be questioning a CEO agreement if there are, like, ethical questions about, you know, whether this was a real arm's length transaction or not?
I think the appropriate time for such questioning, if indeed there is such an appropriate time, which I'm not convinced about, but if there is, it's not when the contract is over and the person being incentivized tries to collect his payment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
If he already did the work.
Yeah, like if you hire someone to remodel your bathroom and they do a really great job, like that, you don't go to them after the remodeling is done and say, "Hey, you did a fantastic job on that bathroom, but the amount I negotiated to pay you, it's a little bit steep. I think I'm going to pay you less."
Oh shit, yeah. You guys.
Hmm. What?
Did any of you guys watch the show Silicon Valley?
No.
The first four seasons, yeah, they were really good.
So I just realized that this, what we're just talking about right now, is the story of the Pied Piper. Pied Piper, also the main software product in the show Silicon Valley.
You're not wrong.
The whole thing is they hired him to you know, get all the stakes out. He did it. And then they're like, "Good job. We're not paying." So it's like, "Fuck you, I'm taking all your children." So watch out, Delaware children.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious way to respond to this. Have Elon Musk adopt this judge's children.
That'd be incredible.
He'll rename them to some nonsense string of characters.
I think the thing that most raised my eyebrows about this was that the judge said Elon already had either 16 or 20% of Tesla stock. The numbers seem to fluctuate based on which report I read, maybe because he sold some in the interim. But that since he already had 16% of Tesla stock, he was plenty incentivized to do a lot of work anyway, so they didn't need to pay him any more extra.
Well, that's...
Come on, man.
That was like the end of the opinion, because what they found was when it's not an arm's length transaction, when it's done, when they find that it was done, it was unethically entered into, then the second part of that is, okay, then you look and see, is it reasonable? And the judge has like broad discretion at that point. So that's when that got brought up.
I would think if maybe that's all that he's doing, that his entire net worth is in Tesla and that is what he's focusing all his efforts on, then sure, maybe he would have done it anyway because that's how he makes his money. But if you've also got SpaceX going and Neuralink going and now this Twitter thing going and this XAI thing going, he could have spent his time on any of those other projects instead. And this incentive to spend more time on Tesla was actually a thing that, you know, they needed to pay him for.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right. Enough about your boyfriend.
Mm.
David, tell us about Werner Vinge.
Vinge.
Vinge?
Yeah, it's pronounced Vinge.
For once, Ineos knows how to pronounce something.
Yeah.
Because he's a sci-fi author.
Sorry for bringing all of the downer stories this episode, but Werner Vinge, an in-group adjacent and also excellent science fiction author who popularized the notion of the singularity, died a few days ago, maybe like a week ago, at age 79 after a struggle with Parkinson's disease. He spent years telling everyone not to die, and what does he go and do?
Hypocrite.
Yeah.
Good thing me and Ineash are not going to do that.
Yeah. David, on the other hand, he's just fast-forwarding straight into the grave.
Yeah, my options at this point are basically die young or live forever.
David is going to get ripped to pieces by 30 to 50 feral hogs. I've already seen this.
Awesome. Yeah, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he was not signed up to be cryopreserved, so double suckage.
Damn.
Yeah.
Jeez, if you can't get the sci-fi authors.
I mean, you get some of them, but right. Not Werner.
Yeah.
All right. What did he write?
So if you want to read something he wrote, Ignace is probably a better person to make recommendations on this front than I am, but I read A Fire on the Deep or a fire upon the deep. And I very much enjoyed it. So
Inash, do you have recommendations?
Where I would recommend people start.
A Fire Upon the Deep is actually a really good first book. It's very engaging and like just a really good story, plus good sci-fi. Like, yeah, Fire Upon the Deep, very solid recommendation.
All right, somebody read it and submit it. Do a book review and submit it to the AZX book review context because they are privileging fiction reviews this year. So do it.
And there's packs of dogs that can talk with each other and form a hive mind, and they're the best boys.
Pack mind, not hive mind.
Okay, pack
mind. Because they're in the single digits to very low double digits, not the tens of millions. This is something that's actually discussed in the book, if I remember right.
Well.
All right, well, be sure to include that in your book review, whoever's going to do that. All right, Inash, you have another public service announcement for us.
Yes, a quick one. If people are thinking about buying a house, the Fed is saying that they're probably going to drop interest rates by 0.75% throughout the year.
It's about time.
Yeah, maybe not quite that much, but they do plan to drop it 3 times. Maybe they only drop an eighth of a point each time, or maybe an eighth once and a quarter once. But yeah,
So what does that mean? Wait to buy a house?
Probably, yeah, if you're going to be getting a loan. I mean, it's always hard to say because oftentimes prices adjust when the rates go down, so you're getting the same mortgage point payment anyway. But most people do wait, and usually you can get a bit of a lower payment if you wait a little bit.
All right, and David has a story for us that starts out as happy news and ends as sad news.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read this headline as I first read it because you deserve to experience this emotional roller coaster. Montana man pleads guilty to creating massive Frankensheep with cloned animal parts.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Why is this not happy news? This sounds awesome.
Well, you must have missed the pleaded guilty part.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so basically what this guy did was he ordered sheep parts from China.
Awesome so far.
And then he cloned them.
Are these like amazingly large sheep or something?
I think yes. They're amazingly large sheep, and he might have like tinkered with the genes to make them even bigger or something. But yes, these were very, very big sheep.
Endangered sheep. He was making more endangered animals.
Yes, that is.
He was helping.
That is actually important. He was making more of these giant endangered sheep, and then letting people hunt them on his land. And
they're called Marco Polo sheep.
Yeah, and I want to say Fish and Wildlife Administration didn't like this because he was letting people hunt an endangered species. Never mind that, you know, they were hunting the members of the species that he made. So this entire business arrangement necessarily breaks even on the number of endangered sheep.
I really think I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it to be a viable defense.
I don't disagree. And yeah, they sent him to jail, and I think it was like, guy is an 80-year-old. And how long was he sentenced for?
Apparently it was illegally selling semen.
Oh,
that's what they got him for?
Schubert sent 15 artificially inseminated sheep to Minnesota in 2018 and sold 37 straws of Montana Mountain King semen to someone in Texas, according to the indictment.
What the fuck, man?
I don't know what a straw of semen is, but now I want to.
I want to know why the hell I can't sell whatever semen I want anywhere I want.
Because the FDA, I assume.
Like, as long as I disclose what the semen is.
It is because your parents lied to you when they told you you lived in a free country, Inash.
God damn.
They did.
I get lied to so much, and I'm not happy about it.
I know, right? He also forged veterinarian inspection certificates based. Yeah. It does not look like this article says how long he's going away. 5 years in prison and a fine of up to a quarter mil. So, you know, non-zero chance that this is a life sentence for doing cool bioscience that's probably not going to cause a pandemic that kills everyone.
Yeah, probably not.
And yeah, that's super duper not cool.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, on to things that are cool, because it's time for happy news.
Good news, everyone.
Yay!
Oh, and we have a Franken animal story.
We do. Although, actually, wouldn't it be awesome if someone built a giant statue, or at least a large size statue of like this dude and some Franken sheep, just to commemorate his awesomeness?
I'd back the Kickstarter.
Should maybe look into this.
All right. Subscribe to the Mind Killer. We'll, if we get enough money, we'll make it happen.
How much money do we need?
I don't know. I'm not a statue builder guy.
All right. Well, if anybody is seriously thinking about this, contact Wes or myself and we will make it happen, because I know statue builder guys, or at least I know people who know people who know statue builder guys.
All right. Get us a statue builder guy. Now, tell us about this other Franken animal.
This other Franken animal is gene edited pig kidneys. These are kidneys that were transplanted into humans, which is great because kidney failure kills a lot of humans, actually, every year, and there's never enough kidneys. There was a really cool Slate Star Codex article about this recently, My Left Kidney, about Scott Alexander giving away his left kidney to a stranger just because that's how freaking awesome he is.
Right, they're harvesting them from people, for God's sake.
I know! But yeah, they got some gene-edited pig kidneys. I'm assuming the gene edit is to make them more compatible with the human biology. They've been transplanted into the first person who was going to die without a kidney. And he's doing okay so far, but I believe it's only been a few weeks. Still, big advances in the fields of saving human lives.
Right. Yep,
this is super cool.
Yeah. All right, next story.
So is this something that you can do in America, or is it another thing where we need to go to Prospera if we want a pig kidney?
I believe this trial was done in America. I don't know how soon it'll be available to the general public.
Xenotransplantation, they call it.
Nice. Nice.
Sounds like it was done in America. FDA approval is compassionate use.
Cool.
Oh, that's unusually based of them.
Yeah. All right. Next story. The federal judiciary has finally banned judge shopping, which I'm excited about because... if you always don't know what judge shopping is, it's there's certain places in the country where there's only one federal judge in any given locality. So if you file your case in that locality, you know you're going to get this judge. And sometimes these places have crazy, like, right-wing Federalist Society judges who really love invalidating laws. And so bad faith right-wingers go to these judges and get nationwide injunctions against laws that nobody else would invalidate and that get overturned on appeal. But meanwhile, you got to deal with this injunction. They've banned this practice. And what they said is, we're not going to have single judge localities anymore. If you are trying to get a law overturned, you're going to get randomly assigned a judge from the district that you're in. So you can't just like go get this one crazy judge who's going to do crazy stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think putting more randomness into the judge selection process is good. I've heard ideas about doing that for the Supreme Court, which I think would be great. You just call up random appellate judges and they're the Supreme Court for the term. But this is a good start.
Doesn't seem like a terrible idea.
Yeah, like more randomness is better.
Also, I initially read this headline as federal judge banned shopping.
No, see, that's the kind of crazy thing that would happen if we still allowed judge shopping. But thankfully we don't. All right, Iniash.
All right.
Speaking of legal stuff.
Legal stuff. New York has finally disbarred an infamous copyright troll.
Oh, we hate those.
We really do. One of the ones that we hate.
Richard Leibowitz.
Thank you.
Don't recognize that name offhand. But yeah, fuck that guy.
I'm just glad it's happening because copyright trolls have been a bane in our existence for decades now. And the fact that finally one of them is at least getting disbarred, good sign. I hope this starts a whole domino effect.
Easier than changing copyright rules.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, David, we got Neuralink news.
Yeah, so this is kind of a follow-up to a previous episode, but I put it in happy news. So we talked previously about how Elon Musk had quote that the first test implants of Neuralink had taken place and the patients were recovering successfully. Well, one of them has talked to the press, and unlike most cases of people talking to the press, this was a good idea. yeah, this guy, paraplegic, so paralyzed from the neck down, got a Neuralink implant that let him control a computer by just basically thinking about where he wants the cursor to be, and then it goes there. He described it as basically like using the Force.
Nice.
Yeah, the first thing he did with his newfound digital freedom was play Civilization VI for 6 hours.
Nice.
Never change humanity.
That's a good game.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, Iniesh.
High schooler. Oh, man. I did it to myself. Achyuta Rajai, Rajaram?
Guess is Achyuta Rajaram.
Thank you. He is a 17-year-old high schooler. He won the Regeneron Science and Math Competition, which is a really big science and math competition that runs every year in America, which by itself would be happy, I guess. But he got it for developing an automatic method to discover which parts of a computer model are involved in decision-making. So also good, because hopefully it'll help us not die to the AI overlords.
Did the high schooler solve alignment?
No, but, you know, he helped refine one of the tools that'll help us solve alignment.
All right. Sweet. Iniesh.
Yeah.
What else is happy?
We can kill more insects.
Yes!
Yay!
The kind of death that's good. There's a pill that kills ticks now. At least there is in trials. Yes?
Ticks are not insects.
The fuck you say?
Aren't they arachnids?
Aren't arachnids insects too?
No!
So first of all, I don't think they are arachnids. No, they're not. But anything that's a creepy crawly is an insect, darn it.
The word you're looking for is bug.
No, ticks are arachnids. I just Googled it, you son of a bitch.
What? Yep. They don't spin no webs.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture, and there's definitely 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, I stand by my claim that anything that is a creepy crawly is an insect. So
the word you're looking for is bug.
Yeah,
used in a sentence, the only good bug is a dead bug.
Fine. It is a bug, and now we can kill it with a pill. Generally, it takes ticks 36 to 48 hours to transmit Lyme disease, and the pill kills them quicker than that. So,
does it poison your blood? So when the tick drinks it, it dies.
Yeah,
awesome. Nice. That's so metal.
That is really cool.
I feel like I've seen that in like vampire stories before.
You might be thinking of The Witcher.
Yeah, probably. Probably that too.
Yeah, I believe the potion in question is named Black Blood.
Yes, so you take the Black Blood and the ticks die. Amazing.
Unfortunately, the brand name is Iotiliner. That's way less cool than Black Blood.
Iotiliner, yeah. Well, I'm just going to call it Black Blood.
Yep.
Cool.
All right, pretty sweet. All right, Iniesh, CRISPR news. Tell us about CRISPR.
A University of Amsterdam team used CRISPR to remove HIV from cells that have it.
What?
Yeah.
Nice.
This was in a lab setting, not in a human, but yeah, they did just cut the HIV right out. A literal cure, if it pans out. More importantly, it could be a cure to all chronic viruses. Like, just send the CRISPR in there and boom, they're gone. Probably not boom. Probably takes a little while. But point is, the CRISPR could just cut out the infected parts. The man said boom. Personally, I'm most excited for an HSV cure, just because that one is, you know, one we don't have a treatment for yet, whereas HIV is completely under control. But I see how, you know, HIV kills a lot of people in the developing world, so maybe we want to get rid of that one, and HSV isn't really a big deal. But also, you know, viruses are the cause of a significant percentage of cancers, so if we can start just like getting these things out of us, good on everybody, good on the human race.
Yeah, take that, viruses.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, David. No, we're not covering this. What is this? This is not happy news.
No, we're covering this. So, women taking Ozempic have reported getting pregnant despite using birth control and or experiencing fertility issues. Okay, I know what Wes is going to say. Using birth control, okay, that's potentially problematic. But experiencing fertility issues, that means people are having babies when they want babies.
All right, so I guess that's happiness.
Yeah, it is nice that it can work as a fertility aid thing.
Women getting pregnant when they're using birth control, that's bad news.
Yeah, this is on the border, man.
Yeah, I personally disagree because we just need to increase TFR.
Oh, my God.
But
you don't increase TFR among people who don't want to have children, though.
You increase abortions.
Yeah.
So anyway, abortion pills, they might be going away, so buy them now.
God.
All right, Inyash, what's our actual happy news?
Austin has...
Happy news from Austin.
From Austin, yes. Has severely over the last several years loosened their housing restriction laws. And as a result, so much housing has been built in Austin that housing actually got cheaper
over
the last year.
You mean increasing the supply brought down the price? That's crazy talk.
I didn't think it would actually happen because we're just so far behind in supply in almost every city that, like, no matter how much you build, it would take years to catch up to demand. But it actually worked in Austin.
Well, they did it for years.
Yeah.
I guess so.
And, like, I mean, you don't need to increase supply. You just need to subsidize demand. This is a known fact.
That is what we've been trying.
But look. It is now shown. We can do it.
We can do it.
Austin did it.
Jokes aside, this is super cool. Good job, Austin.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that brings us to troop deployments.
I'm willing to put wave after wave of men at your disposal.
As we all know, politics is the mind killer and arguments are soldiers. So in that spirit, we ask each of our hosts to send a soldier out onto the battlefield each episode. And we'll start with David.
Yeah, so I talked last episode about how I have a new job, and my first task at this new job was to download and clean the Wikipedia archive for use in AI stuff. And guys, Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia that anyone can edit, was a mistake.
Boo!
This was a bad move by the human race. And let me tell you why. If you go to a Wikipedia page, any Wikipedia page, and click the edit button at the top right, you'll be able to see the actual code that was input to produce that nice, slick-looking Wikipedia article. This raw code is what I've been working with. And unlike the slick, shiny Wikipedia page, that code is a hot fucking mess. Like, literally every 20 articles or so out of the 1.5 million I had to clean, there was some sort of stupid edge case. And finally, my boss just said, okay, you know what? Good enough. You don't actually need to flush all these cockroaches. That was when we found some chucklefuck had directly coded an HTML table into a page instead of just using MediaWiki's built-in table feature. So yeah, Wikipedia, bad idea.
All right, thank you, David. Inyash, what is your troop deployment?
What is my troop deployment?
I don't know, you don't have anything written down here.
Okay, well, my troop deployment is that house spouse is the greatest and best job in the world, then. I got to play that role for a bit over a year recently, and yeah, this is actually a great freaking job. Cleaning places just is meditative and feels nice, and your surroundings look better after you're done. You're greatly appreciated. Like, you just see someone's life being made better by your efforts every day. And it is the kind of feedback you never get from doing spreadsheets or whatever. That just kind of feels like hollow emptiness. And this is like, you see someone having a better life because of you. There's always kind of unique new little problems that can be solved, but they're always entirely within one skill set. Like, there's no, you have to find a cure for malaria thing going on here. It's really a great way to live. Guys, we have been robbed for I don't know how many millennia by being excluded from this job. Maybe it's much easier nowadays since we have things like vacuum cleaners and washing machines. But man, this is great, and everybody should try it out for a while.
You've never had to wash clothes by hand, this didn't start becoming a sweetheart deal until like the 1950s.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's
but still, that's like 70 years.
Yeah, it's a joyous way to live, and it feels good.
Well, I hear that it's only women graduating from college these days. So maybe some more spots opening up.
Yeah.
All right. My troop deployment is that the AI Doomers are crying wolf, and they will never admit it.
Boo!
Yeah, exactly. I'm talking about you. So AI Doom is everywhere these days, sometimes even on this podcast. Read any rationalist adjacent AI take, and it's all about how we're on an inevitable march to becoming paperclips, and how everyone developing frontier AI models is being profoundly irresponsible. Earlier this month, everyone was all pissed off at Anthropic because they were supposed to be the safety company, and they released an LLM that wasn't noticeably worse than the other top models. So unsafe, they say. But what exactly is the unsafe part here? Nobody thinks Claude is going to kill us all. But implicit in the anti-progress argument is that we're close enough to a model that will kill us that it's irresponsible to push the frontier any further. We're playing Russian roulette with the future of humanity unless we impose strict government regulation designed to prevent AI from advancing far enough to provide the massive value that it's clearly capable of. Far before it's capable of taking over the world, it will be capable of helping people to do amazing things that will improve our lives immeasurably. But no, the Doomers say, we need to stop progress now before we get any of that and solve alignment, whatever that means. The problem with this argument, though, is that you can't pin anyone down to any specifics. Arguing with an AI Doomer reminds me of nothing more than arguing with a theist, in the sense that they have an unshakable faith, but also refuse to make any testable predictions. All they tell you is that AI is likely to kill us someday. Maybe soon, but maybe far in the future, and every day gets us closer to it, and there's absolutely nothing that could happen that will prove them wrong. If AI kills us all, told you so. If AI doesn't kill us all, well, it'll happen someday. If we solve alignment, well, that's what they were saying to do all along. If we don't solve alignment, well, they said we weren't serious enough about it. If you spread flour on the floor to see the invisible dragon's footprints, well, you see, it floats. It's perfectly reasonable to think that AI might someday be a threat to humanity, but also recognize that current models are nowhere near advanced enough to be worrying about that. The problem with the discourse is that these two ideas keep being smushed together. So to the AI Doomers, I propose a bet. In the next 10 years, no AI will independently murder anyone. The only fatalities from AI will be in situations which humans intentionally used it to kill people, accidents similar to car accidents where the AI clearly just made a mistake, or a trolley problem or triage type situations where someone was going to die either way. You win if an AI kills a person in circumstances suggesting it exercised agency and chose to kill without any human operator telling it to. The only stakes are whoever's wrong just has to admit it and approach the issue with a little more humility in the future. Who wants in? Inyash? Inyash, you in? I didn't think so.
No. All right.
That's our show.
Hold on. Absolutely. Yes. Fine. Yes.
All right.
I want to caveat it, but out of a yes or no, I'm going with the yes.
All right. That's our show for this fortnight. Please follow us wherever you follow podcasts. Subscribe on our Substack. We'll get episodes early. You'll get bonus episodes, and you'll get access to our subscriber-only Discord channel where you can come make AI bets. Come back in 2 weeks, same rat time, same rat channel.
Bye.
Bye.